Hi, I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We begin our program always with the latest on health and healing. All the information comes from quality research centers and is published in the National Library's peer review system. So it's the finest quality information. Now here's the irony. If you're looking for what will allow you to live a longer and healthier life, orthodox scientists have provided the solutions. And yet, they don't share this. We don't adapt this. And that's a separate issue, but I'll give you an example. What's one of the reasons that we die prematurely, die of a heart attack, or just drop dead of a stroke? Because we didn't pay attention to inflammatory markers in our blood, like C-reactive protein, homocysteine, fibrinogen, triglycerides, LDL cholesterol. These are the silent killers, because when they're elevated, you have a greater risk of dying instantly. And yet there are no signals. It's not like, oh, okay, I've got a symptom. I better get my homocysteine checked. So that's why I'm asking people, get a blood chemistry, inflammatory blood chemistry and hormone chemistry done twice a year. All right, and if you're overweight or diabetic, then have it done about four times a year. So at least you know where you're at. Now, the good news is that if your homocysteine level is elevated, by the way, if it gets up around 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, shouldn't be there, you're almost doubling or tripling your opportunity for a heart attack or stroke. When they do an autopsy, they'll tell you that the person died of what? Heart attack, stroke? What they don't tell you is why. Now, they can see that a person's overweight or obese, but they don't know if the person smoked or drank alcohol or ate too much sugar or fast foods. They don't know that. And that's never on the medical report. It's just cause of death, unless there's a secondary cause. Our lifestyle is the number one cause of dying prematurely and aging prematurely. Now, fish oil and vitamin B12 have been shown in this study out of the Zhejiang University in China to lower the risk of homocysteine. By the way, I would add on to that, vitamin B6, all right, vitamin C and folic acid also help lower your homocysteine level. And if, so if you take a multiple vitamin every day and it has the folic acid B12, B6 in it, in B1, and vitamin C, you're going to have a much better chance of having a lower homocysteine level. The article was published in the Asia-Pacific Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And what they found was when you have B12 and fish oil, you're going to have a lower C-reactive protein and homocysteine and ferritin level, all of which increase your risk of cardiovascular disease. And so why not, if you could do something that simple, that inexpensive, that natural, no side effects, could save your life. Something else that's important for you, according to Zhejiang University Medical Sciences, is cinnamon. What does cinnamon do? It improves memory and learning. Yes, cinnamon, the well-known aromatic spice that maybe many of us use. I use it in smoothies. Is derived from the inner bark of the cinnamomum trees. These are evergreen trees found in the Himalayas and other mountain areas, as well as in the rainforests and other forests of southern China, India, and Southeast Asia. So in addition to its unique flavor, cinnamon would have the benefit, if you used it, of being able to help turn off inflammation. It's an antioxidant that has anti-cancer properties. Yeah, it also helps boost your immune system. And some studies have shown that it's the bioactive compounds can boost brain function and enhance, improve your memory and learning. So I suggest that what we do is start using more cinnamon. And this was shown in Nutritional Neuroscience, the peer-reviewed journal. So, by the way, there are over 2,600 studies in the different databases that looked at cinnamon. So it's something that's been well studied. It's just not used very often. I mean, think of it. Most people, maybe they'll use some allspice and some cinnamon around Thanksgiving or Christmas time in some of the pumpkin pies. But otherwise, most people don't use it. Now, there was a very famous football player back in the 1970s, a big guy, and he used hormones. That's how he got his big muscles. And he also had brain cancer. And he was on Johnny Carson, some shows talking about it. Since that time, we've done a lot more research showing that the long-term use of hormonal substances in the body can increase our risk of different diseases. Well, according to the University of Southern Denmark, hormonal contraceptives, a different use, is associated with an increased risk of brain tumors. Taking a hormone contraceptive for at least 5 years is associated with a increase in a young woman's risk of developing a rare tumor, glioma of the brain. And so this project looked at women 15 to 49 years of age and was published in the British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology. In lay language, hormonal contraceptives, including oral contraceptives, contain female sex hormones and are widely used for women of all ages all over the world. And while only a little is known about the cause of glioma and other brain tumors, there's evidence that female sex hormones may increase the risk of some types of cancer. So just letting you know, try other forms, other barrier forms of contraception, but just be aware there's a danger in using that particular type of hormone. All right. Also, from the University of Texas Medical Branch, a blend of soy and dairy proteins promotes muscle protein synthesis when consumed after exercise. This was published in the Journal of Nutrition, and it demonstrates the benefits of consuming a protein blend of muscle protein synthesis after exercise. This study is the first of its kind conducted by the research at the University of Texas Medical Branch and utilized the protein from soy, whey, and casein consumed after an acute bout of resistance exercise. So if you want to get bigger muscles, that would be beneficial. These proteins have complementary amino acid profiles and different digestive rates. And my concern is that I've also seen people who've used those kind of proteins, the whey powder, and end up with all kinds of problems. For example, puffiness under the eyes, runny nose, lots of phlegm being spit up during the day because her body's allergic to the dairy. So the question is, could you do a better way? And I would say yes, using a blend of hemp protein, the amino acids in hemp powder, and soy, and brown rice. And I found it works just fine. And I've helped tens of thousands of athletes as a coach in the Natural Living, Running, and Walking Club since 1975. And it doesn't matter what their body is when they come in, they get the muscles. That's just one of the things we do. Now, let's just say that you want an alternative to Prozac. All right? There are alternatives. One is 5-HTP, otherwise known as 5-hydroxytryptophan. And it is less well known as a cousin of serotonin, one of the most important brain neurotransmitters. And L-tryptophan is first converted to 5-HTP in nerve cells by a vitamin B3-dependent enzyme. In any case, it's not toxic and it works. All right? There on my back behind me is my bird. She comes up when I'm sitting at my desk. And so that's Sweetie, 22 years old. So we do have alternatives to Prozac, which I never recommend anyone taking. And it impacts the serotonin in our body. Feel more calm, at ease. Also, from Columbia University Irvine Medical Center comes a study about food swamps may be sending older adults to an earlier grave. Now, we know it's no secret that poor access to healthy food can lead people making unhealthy dieting choices. With that in mind, a new study finds adults over 50 who live in so-called food swamps are more likely to suffer a life-threatening stroke. Simply put, areas where fast food chains and convenience stores selling unhealthy snacks are everywhere, and that could be sending many older adults to an earlier grave. Despite major advances in stroke care, stroke continues to be a significant problem, and some people will remain at risk despite optimal medical treatment because they're not changing the diet. You can have all the medications you want once something happens, but why not just stop it? We are highly addicted to junk food. It's not easy for most people to give it up because it satisfies many of their tastes. Salty and crunchy, sweet and soft, fills you up and is inexpensive. All the reasons a lot of people want it. It's fast. You know, make one phone call and you've got it. But you also have obesity, cardiovascular disease, and you have increased risk of stroke and inflammatory conditions because of that same food. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to deal with a lot of important issues. I mean, a lot of interesting stuff. Every day I try to make sure that what I'm sharing with the audience, they've not heard before. And by the way, you can watch this segment because this segment I stream live on Zoom. And also go to prn.live and just look at all the outstanding hosts that we have and see if there are not some programs there that you'd find of interest. Also, you can go to garyandall.com and look at all the articles I published. I'm closing in on 1,000 articles. And these are not little simple articles. These are really in-depth on a topic. And films as well. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. What is the cost of truth? One doctor, Dr. Scott Jensen, was on this program several years ago. Just a regular doctor, board certified and pro-vaccine. But he told the truth about some of the problems with COVID. He paid a price. He's still paying a price, as are every single one of the orthodox doctors, all pro-vaccine, who challenged the orthodoxy. The mainstream media will not cover their story. They're going after their medical licenses. So for us to have the truth, these people have taken the pain. Let's hear what he has to say.
Dealing with medical board complaints. 2.5 years ago, I sat at the same desk. 2.5 years ago. And I came before you, not for me, but for you. And I said, if they can do it to me, they can do it to you. 2.5 years ago, on July 4th weekend, I let the world know that I was being investigated for the first time in my career by the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice. 2 months earlier, I had addressed my concerns regarding how death certificates were completed in days gone by and how modifications had been suggested by the Department of Health and the CDC. And I told you that if they can do it to me, they can do it to you. Less than 2 days ago, I received a packet. This time it's not just from the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice. This time the Office of Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison is involved. The byline on the stationery, helping people afford their lives and live with dignity and respect. In this document, I've been advised that the fifth investigation will require hearings, meetings. The first four, this is number one, this is number two, this is number three, this is number four. These, the allegations were dismissed. But this fifth one, and now there have been a bunch more added. And I'm going to share them with you. Before the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice, a notice of conference. The Attorney General's office will provide the legal counsel for the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice. I was up till after 1 o'clock this morning, trying to go through this. Folks, let's be clear. This is all about raw politics. This is about raw power. This is about punishment. This fifth investigation started 15 months ago. The entirety of 2022 had no engagement. What do you think happened in 2022? I think you probably know. The pieces of the puzzle fell in place. Now there's an opportunity for dissenting voices to be crushed, literally extinguished. I'm going to say it again. If it can happen to me, it can certainly happen to you. It can happen to any of us, whether we're talking about censorship on Twitter or whatever else. To my knowledge, not one of the allegations against me has had anything to do with patient doctor care. It has things to do with someone didn't like the way I listed my position as clinical associate professor on my curriculum vitae. Someone didn't like the idea that I promoted the benefits of natural immunity over vaccines. Someone didn't like it that I compared, like Tony Fauci did and Mike Osterholm, the influenza to COVID. I'm going to be posting these. You can see what this is about. But make no mistake about it. At a gut level, this is about Dr. Scott Jensen having taken care of patients for 40 years. His license is on the line. How does that make me feel? Sick to my stomach. I will be up after midnight for the next days and weeks as I prepare and look through my notes. I don't even know what to tell you. I think that what we should be focusing on, instead of trying to extinguish a voice of skepticism, I was the vice chair of the Health and Human Services Committee in the Senate. I was the one that Tim Walz called and asked, could I come over to his office so we could get an insulin bill passed? I was the one who took the pharmacy benefit managers to task and got that bill passed so that they would be registered and licensed. I think we should be talking about what I talked about in my book, The Triad of Tyranny. I think we should be talking about what happens when big tech and big pharma and big government come together and want to crush you. What do you think happens? You get censored, you get kicked off social media platforms, you get shadow banned. I said in this book that we've all been played, and we have. I wrote a book 8 years ago, and in that, Relationship Matters. I said this. This is 8 years ago, prior to COVID. Skyrocketing premiums, providing less coverage, big business maneuverings, expanding government intrusion, entitlement programs running short of funds, increasing costs associated with dying, and risky interventions threatening the patient. All these elements serve to create a combustible medical milieu with the fuse already lit. Well, 36 hours ago, when I opened my letter from the Board of Medical Practice in the Attorney General's office and found out that they're not done with me yet, I just have to tell you, there is a lot of supporting evidence that you could look at and see how wrong this is. At the end of the day, this is about crushing the skeptical narrative. If you're not getting on board, you're a problem. So I'm going to be as transparent as I can. You're going to see exactly what has been alleged against me. Over the next 2 or 3 months, I will meet with the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice, and I will meet representatives of the Attorney General's office. I want to be fair. I understand the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice has a very real mission. But this is not about a physician providing inadequate services to his or her patients. This is not about a physician engaging in some unprofessional behavior. This is about a family doctor who's been a faculty instructor and associate professor at the University of Minnesota, teaching students, medical students and residents for years, taking care of patients for decades, who sat on the vice chair of the Health and Human Services Committee for 4 years, who ran for governor, who spoke to policy issues, who said, we can do healthcare better, we can do inflation differently, we can take on education differently. I have made thousands and thousands of comments. And here I am. Is my medical career going to be truncated, cut short? What will be. But make no mistake about it. If they can do it to me, they can do it to you. And they're doing it to me.
When I hear people talking about the New Green Deal and the hundreds of billions of dollars necessary to make it happen with solar and wind, I'm asking, are you talking about the bladeless wind that does not kill millions of birds, does not create an environmental problem, that is not able to be deregulated? Once it's up, and its lifespan is about 20 years, and then when it no longer is workable, who comes and takes it down? Who's responsible for that? And why is it that we have these graveyards of all these wind turbines that no one seems to pay attention to? But here's the problem. Where do you think the metal comes to allow your battery in your Tesla car to be your car? Where's it come from? How about your cell phone? How about your computer? How about hundreds of things you take for granted? If we're honest and ethical, we want to know. No one wants someone to suffer for us to have something. And yet that's exactly what's happening. A modern day form of slavery. Here's Joe Rogan talking with a person who went into a camp that was supposed to be very ethical, where nobody was digging by hand, supposed to be machines, make it very sanitary. Here's the reality. Think about this the next time you're concerned about doing something for the environment. Well, how about doing something for the people who have been exploited as useless so that you can have your latest convenient gadget?
This is so crazy to see.
This is the bottom of the supply chain of your iPhone, of your Tesla, of your Samsung. I mean, I'm just naming those companies.
Right.
It's all of them, right? All of them. We're not just picking on them. And here's what you need to know, Joe, about this video. I was the first outsider to get into this mine. And that's why it's just a really short video that I was able to take. This is an industrial cobalt mine where there's not supposed to be one artisanal miner. Now, that's the term used for people who are just digging by hand as opposed to tractors and excavators. There's not supposed to be one here. That's what the story is told at the top of the chain. This mine, and I can name it, it's called Shabara. There's not supposed to be one artisanal miner here, according to the consumer-facing tech companies and EV companies buying this cobalt. Lo and behold, I walk into this place and this is what I see. There's more than 15,000 human beings crammed into that pit.
Telsey Garbard has something to say about Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada. I'd like you to call in and share your points of view. We have a lot of people, according to statistics, listening from Canada. Move, because your government is so corrupt. So corrupt. And he prides himself on being one of the sponsors of the World Economic Forum's programs. For all the truckers, the 5,000 plus truckers, your bank accounts were seized. You couldn't pay your bills. Even the restaurant that provided coffee to the truckers, their bank account was seized. This is what's going on in Canada. It's only going to get worse. She tells the story.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in Canada has yet again very recently shown just how anti-freedom and anti-democracy he actually is.
We have a robust functioning democracy, and protests, public protests, are an important part of making sure we're getting messages out there and Canadians are getting messages out there and highlighting how they feel about various issues. But using protests to demand changes to public policy is something that I think is worrisome.
Okay. So here we have the Prime Minister of Canada saying that, yes, we have a highly functioning democracy and people's voices, the Canadian people's voices should be heard and they have the right and freedom to protest. However, if those protests are used to demand change in government policy, then no, that shouldn't be allowed. Just in that statement in and of itself, you got to wonder how this guy doesn't see the hypocrisy in his singular phrase. So the latest example now here, again, of the hypocrisy coming from the Canadian government has to do with Jordan Peterson. Now, we've seen other examples before how Canada recently, they banned the sale of handguns. They don't believe in the right of individuals to defend themselves or their loved ones. We have seen also similarly how President Biden here in our own country has hinted at his desire to do the same. And so when we look at our own constitution, we look at Canada's constitution, we see further and further infringement upon our God-given rights and freedoms. Now, Jordan Peterson is the latest victim of Canada's prosecution against free speech. He is being threatened by a government regulatory organization, the College of Psychologists, and they are threatening to take away his medical license unless he goes through retraining that is overseen by them and approved by them. And if he fails to do so, they will take away his license. And what was his offense? Well, he said some things that offended some people. He received a very threatening letter from the College of Psychologists. Jordan Peterson may have lacked professionalism in public statements made on social media and during a January 25th, 2022 podcast appearance, which happened to be on the Joe Rogan Experience. None of these complaints are coming from people who were medical patients or clients of Jordan Peterson. They're not coming from anyone that had anything to do with anyone who was a client or had any kind of acquaintance within his medical practice, which frankly has not been functioning for the last few years simply because of the fact that since he became a publicly known figure, he has been under attack by these regulatory agencies and people who are critics of the things that he is saying.
Time now for you to be able to share your points of view. I know a lot of you have very important things to say, and we'd like to hear them. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and let's hear what you have to say about any of the issues I've discussed. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. I want to give you a few things to think about. And that is that when we look around the world today, if we look around the world and we look without looking through the completely altered vision of the people in power, corporate power, academic power, social power, or the government power, we see a completely different scenario. We see a different reality. And all this week, we're going to be showing you that reality by experts in the field, courageous people who are telling the truth. But if you have ideas, for example, idea on the fact that many of us want to be very conscientious about the choices we make and are. We're conscientious about the food we eat, taking the time to go to places to get organic, locally grown, wherever possible, farmers markets, how much we eat, what are our needs, exercising, but also even the things we wear and the appliances we use. That's why I played the clip. And that's the only clip that I've seen of a person who was able to get into one of these mines, which is very difficult. And there you saw 15,000 individuals digging with shovels in their hands for the cobalt and other minerals necessary for the electric vehicles. That's why I'm opposed to the electric vehicles. I'm not opposed if the electrical vehicles had a net sum gain in what they could do in capturing carbon dioxide, but they don't. It's negative, meaning right now when every one of these big wind towers go up, I'm not even counting all of the millions of birds that are killed each year. I'm also not counting all the noise pollution when you're in an area where one of those wind turbines are on. And I've been in those wind turbine fields. It's just deafening, the decibels so high. And also the fact that the amount of raw materials and precious metals it takes and the energy used to extract it and process it, to mold it and engineer it, then to install it, and it has a very short life expectancy. And then they're just graveyards, windmill graveyards. And yet there has been for some time, and includes new bladeless wind farm material. Now, I haven't seen any large enough to do it on a city base, but I've certainly seen a lot of it that could do it for your home. It just looks like a pole, a thick pole, but it makes no noise. It's based upon vibrations, and the technology is just brilliant in it. But these little startups, and people are looking to invest in the big companies, and the big companies have the lobbyists in Washington to see that the money for solar or wind goes to them. Look at Al Gore's best example. But what has actually been achieved? Look at the low percentage, under 1% of all the energy that is given to us through solar, and then wind, and then a lot of it's based upon wood, burning wood, biofuels. That's stupid. Shouldn't be done. Causes a lot of pollution. Look at the rainforest. Look at all the ways that we could better understand the cost of a new technology to replace a known polluting old technology. Shouldn't we take that into consideration before we just say, oh, let's get in a long line because Apple has their newest iPhone, as if we need a new iPhone, you know, as if we need it is. And are we, where have we lost our cognitive awareness of what it costs to produce what we have on our plate or in our home? That's just a question that we have not had a discussion on. I'd like to hear what you had to say. Now, so think about that for a moment, then let's hear from you. But also, I just want to let you know there's some really good people who are giving us their perception of science. One is called The Big Picture Science. Every Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it has fun with science. It's just the latest science, especially people may not be aware of the newest technologies. You get the big picture. And the best minds in the country are on with Seth Schlocktack and science journalist Molly Bentley every week. All right? So let's get up on science so we can be better informed. Now, we're going to bring into studio in a moment Sharon Pride. She's been our archivist for 30 years, and a lot of you email her as well as over to PRN your questions or concerns. And she has a question, and she's going to read from a person. Do not read the last person's name, Sharon. And Rodney, is she in studio? So she could read the question. I'll take one question today.
She's not in studio yet, Gary. She has to get ready. Give us 1 minute.
Okay. She's not quite there yet. So in the interim, I'm going to go over a couple things that I think are important to bring you up to date. Because I'm up early and we're cranking. By the way, all weekend, and I mean every minute of the weekend, we were working on answering scientists' concerns, questions about the statistic analysis of this major three-year effort of five scientific studies and the positive or negative effects, and how many people stayed in, how many people dropped out, and why, and what were the hard objective criteria, like C-reactive protein, homocysteine, went way down, way down. That means that's, boy, if there's one thing you could do to save your life from a heart attack or stroke, it's lower your C-reactive protein and homocysteine. Well, we did. I mean, in a major scientific way, more than any drug I've seen, and we had to do the research on any drug that could lower C-reactive protein with no side effects. This was all natural. But we have a lot of scientists who are reviewing this. Why? Because I do this with every project, every book, every article, every documentary. In fact, I have people scrutinizing and criticizing my newest documentary because I want to see, did I miss something? Was something not said correctly, something that cannot be supported, in which case I will change it. I have no problem doing that. That's what science is. And that way you see your strengths and weaknesses. It's a fool that just takes something without having any challenge against it and puts it out there. Then if you have mistakes, you know, then that's on you. So anyhow, to make sure that because everything is answered, why? Simple. Because based upon what we've achieved, and I won't go into that now, once everyone has agreed, it's correct, and then we submit, then I'll tell you what we achieved that has never been achieved before in science. This could be such a phenomenal quantum leap ahead in science of aging. So that's why we've got all kinds of eyes on the paper, highly qualified eyes, some of the finest anti-aging scientists in the world. So that's where we're at on that. The book is being worked on, completely redoing and updating the complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing for clinicians and lay public. Every reference in that book, thousands of references, are all from PubMed. So any clinician, dietitian will be able to use it with confidence that it's accurate peer-reviewed science. And the newest documentaries, there are two that you haven't seen, haven't heard. One is almost ready. It's in the final challenges. This is where I go through it, every single line in it, and see, is this right, wrong? Do we keep it, delete it, change it? So we're doing the fine-tuning, all this. I'll be back in New York as soon as this is done, probably within a month, and we'll do lectures, premieres, fundraising for VAI, et cetera. Okay, that said, I want to see if we've got any calls coming in, because now's the time to get in. And is Sharon in studio yet?
Yep, Sharon's ready, Gary.
Hi, Sharon.
Gary.
Please read it, but don't give the person's last name.
Yeah, okay. This is regarding last Friday's show. I'm writing you again as a long-term and devoted listener. I just caught up on the past six shows due to a busy work week. I think your audience members are going to feel like they need to kill themselves. Between what you were revealing about the vaccines and you're courageous to do so, my husband and I successfully fought off getting vaccines because of the information you provide. And the info on AI, how it's going to make everyone unemployed and take us out, it is so truly depressing. But then you tell us we should go through life with a positive and happy attitude. How can we do that in light of what you share with us every day?
What's the person's first name?
Norma.
Norma. Okay, Norma. It's a legitimate concern. What Norma is saying is that if you listen to my show, buy some extra razor blades and start cutting your wrists. And because there's no hope. Not true at all. But I want to put this, Norma, in the proper context. When was the first time you heard that things were wrong? About 1967 on Balkan Echo Studios, WHBI, on 96th Street in New York. No advertising, no publicity, but developed a very large audience. It was a show to take on the big issues. We had every major best-selling author in America on. I didn't take on soft issues. I took on the problems that had to be solved. So I could sit all day and talk about carrot juice and bean sprouts, and for some people that would be fine. But how does that change the quality of your life or protect you from what you wouldn't know otherwise before you make a decision? So the whole idea is don't be afraid to seek the truth, but just don't connect your energy to the negative consequences of that truth. And that's how in Buddhism, one of the most important principles is stay detached. So I can help people who've got all kinds of emotional and physical problems, and do, but I don't become a part of their physical or mental problems, because what good would that do? Instead, you give people the honest picture. Here's the problem, but more importantly, here's the solutions. Go back 12 years when I talked about the 7 tipping points. Then it went about 3 years later to the 12 tipping points. Now we're up to over 40 tipping points, and a lot of those have tipped. Let me just give you an example. When I'm looking at the world every morning, all over the world, I'm looking at everything and the interconnectivity of everything. For example, on the weather environment, last year, we had the largest number of extreme weather events worldwide in history. The cost is untold. It's in the hundreds of billions of dollars and all the lives lost. The appearance of auroral zones across the northern hemisphere due to a shift in the magnetic poles. When was the last time someone in science discussed the magnetic poles and why they're shifting? And record cold in New England, Canada, China, Siberia, Scandinavia. And how about over the weekend? I spoke with Jay, our art director, whose family's up in New Hampshire. And I said, Jay, how cold was it? He said, this morning it was about 12 degrees below zero. I said, up in the mountains of New Hampshire, it was 108 degrees below zero. Listen again, 108 degrees below zero. Not even a polar bear could survive that. So what they're going to find now, when that gets warmed up, they're going to find thousands of dead animals up there, unless they had a burrow that they went into, or in when this happened. Well, that's unusual. What does that portend? More of the same and worse. There's widespread depletion of our natural fresh water supplies. there's a lack of snowpack on the mountains. When you look up and you see Mount Kilimanjaro, almost no snows on Mount Kilimanjaro. What about all the people and the animals that relied upon that melting gradually over a year to supply them with their aquifers and water pools? It's going and gone. Same is true in the Himalayas. Used to be a person could walk outside of their home and walk 20 feet and have a large lake. Now they got to walk a half a mile or longer. 7 of the world's largest rivers are drying up because they get their water from the Himalayas, and that's getting less and less. So you have to take an honest look at everything and say, am I living in a place where I'm never going to be adversely affected? If I don't do anything, what will happen when I get hit with something that I wasn't expecting? There's widespread depletion in all of our lakes, Lake Mead, for example, and Lake Powell, that's ahead of Lake Mead. That's what supplies water to 40 million people in the United States and 7 million people with their electricity. They say right now, based upon the current levels at the Hoover Dam, we have 1 year to 2 years maximum before we hit a dry pool, meaning there's not enough water. Nothing is being done. Zero is being done for all those people, including a lot of them listening to this program. I know I get mail from them. Why are you staying there when it's not sustainable? By the time the world knows that it's not sustainable, you turn on a spigot and don't get any water, or you're so restricted, you might as well go out and buy your water, then try to sell your home. It's going to be worthless. We're talking about 40 million people now. Shouldn't someone be telling them the truth? Only if they're willing to hear it. If it means, don't tell me something I'm not willing to change because it's just going to upset me, make me feel depressed, and make me want to commit suicide. But what about the people who say, I can handle, it's just information, and that allows me a chance to know where I shouldn't move to and where I should? What about all of the Ogallala, the largest aquifer in America, fulfills a lot of the water needs for 7 states? It's half empty. What about the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reported that soaring methane levels have reached the critical feedback loop tipping point? That means it is now unstoppable. I talked about that 10 years ago with the Arctic sea cap, and the sun comes down, the solar rays hit the ice and bounces it back harmlessly in the atmosphere. Now that sea ice is gone because of global warming, and now the shallow bed of the Arctic is getting all the methane coming up in countless numbers. Nothing can be done about it. So we're now in a heating feedback loop. So it doesn't matter what your pro-environmental or anti-environmental issues are. The fact is the fact. The Arctic and the boreal forest, the largest forest in the world, the frozen ground is thawing. Methane is released in amounts that are unimaginable. That's going to create heating, and that means less snow, and that means greater drought. That's what's happening. Sea level rise on the coastlands, especially the Atlantic and Gulf Coast, coupled with tropical storms and hurricanes, that's eroding the soil line. We have 60 million Americans living on the coastlines where they shouldn't live. More people are moving to where you can't live than ever before in our history. More people are moving to Phoenix and Flagstaff that gets its water from the Little Colorado. More people are moving to Miami and the whole coast of the United States. None of that is sustainable. None of it makes sense from a practical point of view. But if you are an impulsive person that wants how you feel is important, Gary, how I feel, well, screw how you feel. That's not important. You can feel that you don't want to move off the beach. Then what are you going to do when a Category 5 wipes you out and you don't have insurance? Did you look at your insurance policy? Did you study it? I ask you to look. Do you have water damage, flood damage, wind damage, and hurricane damage? You got to have all 4. I don't know, whoever looks at the fine print. Well, all the people I just spoke to lost everything. They didn't get any coverage. And now they don't even have a home because the county changed how large your lot has to be. And these were lots before last year in size. So they can't rebuild. They've lost everything. We're talking about thousands upon thousands of people in just one small area of America. Where's the story? It doesn't exist. Do you think those people would want to hear when I was down there talking with those people about Did you plan anything? Well, no, we didn't do anything. I could see all millions of dollars in furniture stacked out in giant piles outside of their houses. Why? Because they never thought maybe with common sense I should take my furniture from the first floor, since it's already been reported about every other second on the news there's going to be a 12-foot surge. 12-foot. The average room is probably 9-foot. Maybe in one of the bigger houses you got 10-foot, but that means that I better get my furniture upstairs or get a trailer and get it out. But no one did. No one. So they lost everything. Those who are rich down in Port Royal, they can afford it. But what about all the palm trees been there for 100 years, all dead? All the grass, all dead. Every Saturday, I would drive up and down the streets for miles, and everybody was raking in the dead grass because salt water destroys these. And the microflora that allow these trees and shrubs to thrive. They all knew in advance. Not a single person I'm aware of did anything about it. Did they buy trailers so they could put their valuable furniture and clothes and paintings and get out of there? No. Why not? You tell me. Why not? I have my own thoughts. I'd like to hear from you. Then look at the loss of drinking freshwater sources from hydrofracking, pipeline oil spills, and chemical and nuclear leaks and pollution. I have someone in this audience who lives within 13 miles of, 6 miles of the twin nuclear power plants up in New York. Breast cancer, family's breast cancer, no risk factors, and neighbor's breast cancer. Do you think someone would have looked at the cancer rates around nuclear facilities to see women's increase in different cancers? You should. Miss Merrill of Merrill Lynch, I met with her up in Connecticut, and she started this whole campaign because she was seeing her friends and herself have breast cancer, and they had no risk factors. She deserves the credit for blowing the whistle on this. But this is, people don't want to move. I'm going to stay here. You're going to fight radiation? Well, I'm stubborn. Okay, well, radiation's coming. You see what we're dealing with? Look at the rapid decline in honeybee. Don't think that's important to you? One out of every three foods you're eating comes from honeybee pollination and other pollinators. They're dying. Why? It's not a guess. Nicotinamides, a very cancer-causing, polluting pesticide. Yale University, which has an excellent climate change research program, has now predicted that starting henceforth, tropical hurricanes will be hitting mid-latitude regions more frequently, meaning New York and Boston, get ready to be Miami, because you're going to get it. Will that change anything? Not a thing. Will anyone do anything? They won't do a damn thing. We have the rapid loss of the Amazon rainforest, loss of 25% during the Bolsonaro years. You have increasing development means more natural land, green resources is lost. Ukraine war has taught us that everything we have been told about our ability to transition to renewable energies is false. Our civilization is far more dependent upon fossil fuels than we could have earlier imagined. That means fossil fuel emissions will continue to increase, and it has every year. That's the little statistic they don't show you. Oh, 2.6%, 3.3% increase over last year. Who are the major polluters? Well, China, India, the United States, and Europe, the developed nations. And yet we have all these conferences when we have Greta Thunberg and these others running around saying, you stole my youth. No, Greta, no. Can you develop, even at your young age, the willingness to go to Ethiopia, to go to Somalia, to go to the Belgian Congo or the Congo, and take a look at the youth there? They're working as slave labor, so you can have something that you're using in your life. Those people had their life, their youth stolen, not you. All right? God, why anybody listen to these people? But look at the social and domestic issues that now it would seem you don't want to hear about. Major global banks and investment firms are now bracing themselves for a dramatic increase in civil unrest in the U.S., U.K., across Europe, due to the runaway hyperinflation and rising energy and food prices. Between 2011 and 2020, demonstrations And strikes and riots around the world have already increased 244%. And Biden just claimed best unemployment figures. What a lie. 500,000 new jobs and unemployment at 3.1%? No. Read the shadow government statistics. They're honest and accurate. As of February 3rd, unemployment was 24.5%. Let me repeat that. The entire government of the United States is not capable of telling you the truth about anything. I mean anything. Nor is the New York Times, the Washington Post, or any one of these other organizations or their journalists. Show me I'm wrong. The real unemployment level is 24.5%. Well, wow, if you had to say we've got 24.5% of our eligible workforce can't find jobs, now you understand why the average American can't write you a check for $500. Is that not important? Don't you want to know that? Do you want to live with some serendipitous, etheric, imaginary pixie dust floating around your brain thinking that, oh, well, things are not that bad. Jobs are plenty. 3.1%, that's great. No, 24.5%. Identity politics, now institutionalized in government, is giving freedom to ban, fire, censor, fine, imprison any dissent. What would happen if you want to say something and or write something on the internet just to protest something? And what happens if suddenly the Justice Department can now consider you a domestic terrorist? That's the rule they have on their side. We have a moral and ethical bankruptcy in the United States. Discovering the entire COVID vaccine narrative and lockdowns were a lie. Rising food shortages like eggs. Organic farms are being threatened through draconian regulations. Housing crisis, rapid turn to a rental economy. Who can buy up all these homes? BlackRock and Vanguard and other companies. Why? Because they make a lot more money renting a home than a bank does selling it. After all, if you can't pay your mortgage after 20 years of a 30-year mortgage, they get to keep all that money you paid up to that point, which makes them very happy, and they can turn around and they can resell your home. But if you've got people who've got to rent, watch how hard it is for people to pay rent almost anywhere right now. They're out of reach. But who jumps in there and says, if we really cared about the people, shouldn't we make rental affordable? We should, but who in Congress, tell me the name of the person I'd like to know, is saying, let's make rental available and affordable. If we really cared about people spending their life savings on medicine and surgeries, why don't we have universal health care? Any humane society would say, let's tax people a little more, take that money, and put it exclusively into universal health care. So no matter what they need, they don't have to pay a penny out of pocket. Now let's get rid of the corruption. That would be all of the fraud in it. That's hundreds of billions of dollars. Let's get rid of all the third payers, all the insurance companies. Get rid of all that. That's over $1 trillion a year saved. Let's get rid of malpractice insurance. You have one universal malpractice. So if you're injured and you can prove it, then that compensates you out of that fund. Well, gee whiz, what would it cost? Right now it's $4 trillion. It would be about $1.7 trillion, and I can justify that figure before Congress. I've sent members of Congress, every member of Congress, that report. Not a single person responded. Where is the left? Oh, I forgot. We don't have one anymore. It's been captured by the Democratic Party. The true liberal community is now being itself attacked. It's not radical enough. Well, how about this for radicalism? Why don't you challenge the people before you vote for them to say, are you going to give us universal health care? They're going to say, well, hold on a second. I got to have a conversation with my lobbyist. Can I give them any break? No. Can I lower the cost of some of these drugs? No. Do we really have to charge $100 for a dollar bag of saline solution? Yes. Do you really want to charge someone $11,000 who came in for a stomach ache and was given a solution and then sent home? Yes. Wow. Show me the politician that doesn't have someone's hands in their pocket, multiple hands in the pocket. We can no longer believe anything coming out of Washington. COVID statistics, vaccine safety, events in Ukraine, Chinese aggression, strength of the economy. The U.S. and other nations being stripped of their sovereignty by international treaties, like the World Health Organization, a completely corrupt organization. Doubt me? Read the article on GaryNall.com on all these agencies. The rise of the biomedical security state. Do you want to know about that or not? It's related to the rise of scientism as a religion that should determine behavior and whether your well-held beliefs are true or false. They will tell you whether or not your cultural and religious and social and familial beliefs are right. And if not, then you got to get right, or the woke generation will come and destroy you. Part of the rise in totalitarian states, Canada, UK, European Union, and its allies, is happening right now. Weaponization of pandemics for social control, happening now. The digital surveillance for health monitoring and compliance to health laws, like, do you have a vaccine status? Why is that important? Do you know what just happened in New Zealand? Why should I care about New Zealand unless there's another Lord of the Rings movie by Peter Jackson being directed? No, no, no. They just made the rule that they're going after home to home to find who was not vaccinated and forcibly vaccinating them. They can do that? Yes, they can. Why? Because nobody protested. I see. Are you protesting? What have you protested? Let me know. Like all the empires in decline, more and more sovereign wealth gets spent on the military and not the domestic improvement in our society. The U.S. is doing this in spades now with preparing for wars on at least two fronts, Ukraine and China. The U.S. is becoming what Soviet Union was before the collapse, top-heavy military and utter neglect of domestic needs. And the collapse of the U.S. petrodollar, and as the world's fiat currency, hasn't completely happened yet, but it's on its way. Within 2 years, the U.S., in my opinion, will no longer be having the dollar as the reserve currency. As a result, everything pegged to the dollar in real assets will collapse by at least 30% or more. The U.S. total debt is $94 trillion. The national debt is $31 trillion. Unsustainable. And yet we don't talk about how to stop it or reverse it. Does any of that money build new bridges, tunnels, jobs, factories? No. No, it's all greed. The rise of the multipolar economic bloc led by China, India, Russia is growing exponentially. Now Saudi Arabia, the Mideast, Latin America, and Africa is turning their backs on the United States and European Union to join these people who say, let's use our currencies in a mixed bag rather than the dollar. And it's happening. Artificial intelligence programs like ChatGPT, it's not just threatening jobs, it's already taking jobs. Entire careers are going to be wiped out. Art directors. Why spend, $100,000 a year on an art director when in three minutes or less, any kind of art that you want is immediately created in slogans? The Great Reset, installation of a corporate-run fascist globalist state. So that's happening. So I'm giving you that just as an overview of, unless you are aware that all these things are conspiring against you, and unless you see what can I do, then you will one day feel completely apathetic and helpless. But what if you begin to do things as you become aware of them? For example, starting to look for places around the United States. Haven't I not mentioned on 100 occasions the intentional communities, of which there are about 1,500 just in the United States? Plus in Ireland and Scotland and other places, have quality of life. Have I not mentioned one of the best places in the world to buy real estate and beautiful homes would be in France, assuming that you can learn to speak French? Have I not said that get off the grid? Get off the grid. Stop reading their newspaper. Stop buying their clothes. Stop buying anything they sell. Just stop. Have you? Because if you start doing that and you start living a more authentic life, and looking for quality of life, then guess what? You're going to be happy. You're going to be the non-toxic mind in a toxic environment, the open mind in a closed environment. You're going to be the thriving mind in a completely flaccid environment. You're not going to let the mob dictate what you should do or not do, because you have empowered yourself with your own optimism. So yes, I'm absolutely optimistic for myself and those people in this country, probably around at the most 10%. You say, well, God, Gary, that's only 10%. Yes, but at 15%, we can actually influence change. But 10% is still 34 million people. Not bad. It's a lot of people. So you see, if you do nothing except fret, then what you fear, you manifest. If you become aware that it's information, I'm not going to personalize it. I'm just going to become aware of it. then you can say, no, I don't want the digital currency. I'm going to tell my legislator, don't vote for this or I'll vote against you. And then you start getting other people together, just like all the parents around the United States that went to the school board meetings and finally woke up to what was being taught and said, no, you're not going to teach this to my child. That's not your right. The state said, yes, it is. We're a better parent than you. And they had the entire corporate liberal community on their side condemning you as a bad parent. Well, I just watched a video. It's too dirty to play. But this was of a party where all these kids, 4 and 5 year old kids, were there. And this one person, it's up on the internet, was saying how the kids should come over and show their appreciation by what they're going to kiss on this guy. We've gotten to that place. And what was really surprising is all the audience in the room were cheering. What a group of people. Wow. That's where we're at now. And at the end stage of every declining empire is extreme hedonism. And that's what we're observing. For those in gated communities think, I don't have anything to worry about. I can golf and play chess and listen to old music. We're happy here. You're a green island in the middle of an arid desert. The desert will overtake you in time. So become aware of everything and then look for the solutions for it and engage. That's my answer to that question. Thank you all for listening and have a nice day.